and you have to spend almost all day in a wretched office building in a place like New York. You dress like a funeral director. I've had lunch at the board of directors of a very important oil company that shall be nameless. And it's like eating in a college cafeteria. The food was just, I mean, it was good food. It was extremely ordinary. But you would expect these great millionaires to be having caviar and glorious fish in aspic and wines and beautiful waitresses serving them and to be lounging at tables like Romans. No, sir. Then, if you've read an article in Look this week by Marshall McLuhan and George Leonard on sex, the future of sex, fantastic, brings up some information that what they call the narrow gauge specialized male, that is the sort of guy who gets out there and sells, you know, and he mustn't have any feelings, because that would be unmanly to have any feelings. Except being kind of a gruff, you know. But so many of these men are like that. And it says that that role-playing of that kind of male gives you ulcers and all kinds of complaints and is more deadly than facing the bullets in Vietnam. And they all die before their wives because they are engaged in the pursuit of a completely fatuous goal. This fatuous goal is the future. And it is symbolized, above all, by money. They make lots of it, and having much more than they can even think about. And they have no idea what to do with it, except make more, except invest it in bigger and bigger units of something. And while they are harassed about that, and they're wondering about the antitrust boys, the Internal Revenue, their competitors, and all these ghouls who are involved in the game, they lie awake nights. They can't go home and throw the whole thing off. They have to get completely boozed. That's one way out. Or tranquilized, which is another way out. Or something or other. In order to take it. And they call themselves realists. You see, they're utterly unrelated to the physical universe. Well, this is partly, of course, because of the education they've received. You see, if you go to an ordinary school, such as we've had since the early 19th century, you discover that your education is purely cerebral. You are prepared to be an executive, a bureaucrat, some kind of clerk. You know the word clerk originally means clergyman. Because the clerics were the only people who were clever. The word clever, clear, clerk, cleric is all the same word originally in English. They were the literate people. And therefore they did all the bookkeeping and that kind of thing. The records. But they got away with it, you see, and they convinced us that the records and the bookkeeping is more important than the actual goods being transacted. So that now people, you see, are much happier with money than with wealth. Or think they are. Try to persuade themselves that they are. But they bought a lemon. So this guy, who thinks he works for the future, this great captain of industry, condemns himself mostly to misery. There are a few exceptions, naturally. As I said, I always exaggerate everything. I know a few important businessmen who have some conception of how to enjoy themselves. But I was amused to meet a young one a little while ago who had created one big corporation which had been bought up by another of the biggest shows going today. He was a member of the board of directors, and he said, "Now, I'm 35 years old. I made an awful lot of money, and I'm going to drop out." So he took off for India. Well, then let's go and look. We've had a little look at business. Let's go and look at the military people.
And they don't know what they want either. First of all, they invented a weapon which was completely insane, because it isn't a weapon. It's simply a contrivance for planetary suicide. And now, a weapon is a very specific thing. Now, a sword is a weapon. And notice it's pointed and sharp and directional. Because then you learn, first thing you have to know about using a sword is where to put it, where to point it. And so it is selective. But things like biological warfare, poison gas, and nuclear bombs are not selective. And you don't know when they're going to blow back on you or which way they're going, what the consequences of them are. The only thing you can do with them is you can pile them up and start playing lighting matches in the powder magazine. This is a very dangerous game that people might play with each other. Well, we're both sitting in a powder magazine, and I dare you to drop that thing. or, you know, we'll blow ourselves both up if you don't do what I want. Now, this isn't strategy, it's madness. Beyond that, they don't have any objectives. It would be understandable if we were going to Vietnam because of all those gorgeous little Oriental girls. We were going to capture the whole lot and bring them back here. But we're not. We are out to destroy something called communism. And nobody really can figure out what it is. Because if Russia is a communist country, all it is a one great big corporate business. It's one corporation instead of a cluster of corporations. And it works rather miserably. And I wouldn't think if you need to fight it, it'll just fall apart. Because it's so boring. History of the thing, they were a lot worse when the brutal barons governed the country. And they are, you know, sort of better in a measly way, like in China. Things are pretty terrible ever since the British and their friends made a mess of China many years ago. And China's been an awful place. And things, again, in China are kind of dowdy and uniform and dull. But it's, so far as basic subsistence is concerned, it's probably better than it was. But my point is that we are fighting abstractions for abstractions. Recently, the Congress of the United States passed an act against burning the American flag. Stiff penalties for burning the flag. And those same people who passed that act with a great flurry of patriotic speeches were actively burning up the country for which the flag stands. They are allowing every kind of scoundrelly use of the water, the air, the natural resources, and their exploitation of the people until the whole thing is being converted into a smog bowl. I flew not a few days ago from New York right across the country to Los Angeles. And from New York to Denver, there was smog over the whole country, as far as I could see, from 30,000 feet. And this is America the Beautiful. You know, you burn up the flag is terrible. Burn up the country is quite okay. Because these people are confused, completely confused, between the symbolic world and the real world. And so, this historical thing, you see, which is a destiny in the future, always being pursued, is completely destructive. Because technology, clocks, instruments, measurements are fine for people who know how to use them, people who know what they want. But for people who don't know what they want, and who think that the clock is the thing, you know, that's what you need. I mean, the Russians are insane about this. The moment they move into a place with their army that is, has some kind of technical civilization, they capture all the wristwatches in sight. And they cover themselves with wristwatches like bracelets. Because they're time crazy too. But those things are very wonderful for people who, as I say, know how to use them. Because you can make significant plans for the future if and only if you are alive today and now and know how to live now and know what to do with now. But if you don't, you see, you never will. Because the only time to start living is immediately. Do it. I mean, why wait around for something to happen? Let's live it up now. Let's have a ball, you see? But we don't. Because we think that if we have it now, we won't have it tomorrow. But if you're always saving up to have it tomorrow, you never have it at all. Well, let's take an intermission.